Roosevelt Avenue. This is FieldPod.com coming to you from our studios high atop Prospero's Books and Cafe. Today is Thursday, the 29th of November, 2012. On this date in 1830, the November Uprising, an armed rebellion against Russia's rule in Poland, begins. In 1890, the Meiji Constitution goes into effect in Japan and the First Diet convenes. In 1947, the UN General Assembly recommends the partition of Palestine. In 1967, Robert McNamara resigns as Secretary of Defense because he realized the Vietnam War was stupid. In 1972, Atari announces the release of Pong, the first commercially successful video game. Birthdays today, 1803, Christian Doppler of the Doppler effect, you know, where it goes, yeah, right. By the way, from Austria, a small Central European country famous for money laundering.
And supporting Iran
via money laundering. In 1898, C.S. Lewis. 1918, Madeleine Lengel. 1932, Jacques Chirac. 1957, Janet Neapolitano. And 1959, Rahm Emanuel. The Nativity Feast started yesterday on the 28th and will be over on Christmas, which, as we all know here in Georgia, is January 7th. So the feast lasts for 40 days, those of you who do math. In this fast, you should...
The fast, not the feast, right?
Fast, feast.
First the fast, then the feast.
Yes, right, exactly. Fast first, then feast. In this fast, you should ostentatiously ask every restaurant you go to if they have fasting food so your friends will see how pious you are.
And some of us just ask for it all the time.
Right, exactly.
All year round, confusing
exactly.
People across the country.
Some of us are committed California vegetarians. We are committed Californian vegetarian Cameron Christensen, Matthias Hooter, the Austrian, and Mark Mullen. Nothing we say can be connected with any of our employers, past, present, or future. My Georgian Journal and Kfidis Politra article this week is about what we think about Joseph Stalin, how we rarely talk about that, and how much more interesting a topic that is than to discuss what is discussed a lot, that is statues of Joseph Stalin and how they move around at night a lot in this country. On November 26, Catherine Ashton, or Kathy, as I like to call her, the High Representative of the EU for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, called on Misha and Prime Minister Bidzina Ivanishvili to, and I quote, continue to use their offices and institutions constructively to Georgia's good governance. Does she mean, like, offices? Okay, their positions, not offices, because Misha's right. Offices don't have any lights. But anyway, she continued, quote, the European Union calls on all sides in Georgian politics to uphold European values of democracy, freedom, and the rule of law. There should be no selective justice, no retribution against political rivals. Investigations into past wrongdoings must be seen to be impartial, transparent, and in compliance with due process, end quote. We here at TobeelPod.com are big pro-EU types, so even though we hear she's not so competent, we thank her for coming to visit and look forward to fiscal union, which will end in the United States of Europe any decade now.
I think it's very interesting that she mentioned specifically seen to be impartial, transparent, and in compliance with due process, because she's making a very important distinction there between what's really happening and perception. And I think that, you know, there's also a link with potentially the way stories are covered internationally, the news that people get, the access to information that people have. It links a little bit to our next story. But I also wonder, you know, what were people saying when all of these things were happening in, what, February 2004, when Misha's government came into power and, you know, started making all sorts of really dramatic and impressive changes, and also was engaged in the first version round one of plea bargaining, when people were essentially threatened with being put in pretrial detention and then had money essentially extorted from them without any real due process at all. I mean,
exactly. And some of us were here, and yes, those people were corrupt jerks, certainly at the very beginning, although a little bit later on, a little bit less corrupt and a little bit less jerkish, but nothing. Nothing was said whatsoever. Nothing was said when the Constitution was amended on February 6th. 2004, completely illegally.
By the old parliament.
Right, by the old parliament, which was an extremely coercive process. And so, you know, that was just, I don't know. I mean, I think that's why that's sort of rubbing people a little bit wrong. I think the other thing is there's a little bit of a misinterpretation. Like, for those of us actually here in Georgia, when they arrest somebody on these goofy little charges, it's understood that many of these people, probably not all of them, you know, not Shoto Kizunashvili and the chief of staff that were arrested probably, but, you know, a lot of the cootie guys and things like that, you know, there's... It's pretty likely that there's legitimate stuff that they've done. You know, there's legitimate concerns. You know, of course, we don't know. They'll go to trial, blah, 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 but they'll get information. And so the arrests right now are in order to get information. Whereas the pretext for the arrest, the sort of minor charge of exceeding authority and things like that, abroad, that sounds kind of, you know, a little ridiculous.
Right. But, I mean, Georgia is not the only country that charges high-level officials. And, you know, maybe, or investigates them. Croatia just arrested their prime minister, or he was, you know... arrested on a motorway in Austria. But he's now extradited. You know, there are, you know, if there are reasons to investigate somebody, then you should do it. Yeah. I think
they got Dillinger on tax evasion.
Yeah. But I think, you know, like the Georgian government before, they were really, really good in communicating with the West. The UNM was great in doing that. They had lobbyists that worked for them that did a great job. And I don't know what happened. You know, I think the new government doesn't trust their embassies yet. Ivanishvili fired his apparently his privately hired lobbyists in probably in the U.S. as well, but in Europe. And then Bukeria, National Security Council, they spend several million dollars a year on lobbying contracts as well. Their budget was cut, and I'm not sure if that affected the lobbyists or, you know.
Well, they had, I mean, I don't know, there's, look, in even before 2001 and 2, I mean, that group, you know, they spoke English, they'd been together for a while, they had good relationships with, you know, with people in Washington. I mean, you know, let's be frank, in part because of relationships with people like me and NDI and others that were in Georgia. And, you know, Shevardnadze's group was, you know, that was a little bit less the case. You know, when they took over it, you know, they already sort of, you know, they knew everybody and they knew how to do this. And they were an extremely well-organized and cohesive team. Now, they're not so well-organized. They're not so cohesive. And they're extremely mistrustful. And I think in many cases, unfairly mistrustful. They should, you know, for example, Salome Samardashvili, the ambassador in Brussels, I mean, probably would have been quite willing to help them out, and they didn't want her to. And so, the visit didn't really go so well. However, they're being a little bit ridiculous, you know, making the charges that they have against the Washington editorial board. So, the Washington Post published an editorial yesterday entitled "Georgia's Government Takes a Wrong Turn," in which the editorial view accuses BI of being an autocrat and unfairly throwing 20 UNM officials in jail. It concludes by saying he isn't welcome in the United States while he's doing all these horrendous things. A very surprised BI responded in the same day at a press conference, and I quote, "It is amazing, and I will find out how Misha managed such an editorial appeared. Our president has had only one thing organized well. This is all he has. He does lobbying as much as he can," end quote. Ivanishvili said his foreign minister, Maya Panchakidze, will complain directly to the Post during her Washington tour this week. "My favorite Georgian Facebook comment about this," and there were many on the Washington Post Facebook site, quote, "The Washington Post should apologize to the Georgian government for this shameful article. It smells like dirty money here. It smells like lots of money being paid for lobbying." And, of course, shame, shame, shame.
Yeah, as we just talked, I think it's a communication problem they have. There was a lot of media attention to Georgia this week. There were op-eds not only in the Washington Post, but in the International Herald Tribune / New York Times. There were a couple of stories in the Financial Times, including an op-ed that was, I think, more balanced and nuanced than the Washington Post one. But there's a lot of media attention now on Georgia, and I think the government hasn't really... Yeah, as I said, hasn't done a very good job in communicating what they're up to. I mean, they just haven't addressed all these concerns that, you know, they're moving Georgia away from a democratic path, that they are, you know, investigating people for political motivations rather than, you know, that they just come out and say, "We look, we're going after the guys where we know there's reason to investigate them, and we will have a very open and transparent process. And you know,
the biggest problem they have is they have Bidzina Ivanishvili saying immediately whatever he thinks.
Yes,
and he should not say anything immediately. And even when he does, he shouldn't say whatever he thinks.
Right. Well, the one thing that he has been saying that I think he should be complimented for is that the judiciary is the one that should be dealing with things. And I think what we saw, and everyone will remember from what 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, is that the UNM was consistently manipulating the security services in order for them to release tape secret recordings of conversations that were then not followed up with any sort of prosecution. For example, Nino Bourgenadze talking with her son. I mean, so just, you know, blatant attempts to discredit people internally, I would say, and also externally, but then not even followed up by cases. So, I mean, right now we're seeing silence domestically. We're talking, you know, they're talking about how they're going to be going through the judicial system, and I think that that's probably fine. I mean, maybe they're not doing a good job of communicating exactly what the charges are, or the significance of the charges don't seem relevant to us, but...
And these, you know, these tape recordings that they made, I mean, that were, you know, politically connected, that they would release all the time, that would just somehow get released. You know, it was never the government that did it. You know, privately, people with the U.S. Embassy would talk about the, you know, just the size and reach of the illegal tapping of telephones and that sort of thing. But there was that I know of no statements made about that. And you know, if there was any private pressure put on Georgia, it certainly didn't work.
No. But also, I mean, the wiretapping thing hasn't really been addressed yet. I mean, yes, the new minister said, you know, they would no longer do it. But TI, about a week ago, released a statement where a senior, you know, telecommunications executive said, this equipment is still in our, you know, server room, and they haven't removed it.
Right.
And the only way to stop, you know, this wiretapping without any supervision is to get that stuff out and to have whenever, you know, there's a court decision to receive information that the telecom operator then has to hand you over that information. But if there's direct access to everything, then of course there's abuse.
Right. Last week at a press conference on November 22nd, BI stated, quote, the president has a five-year term, and of course the question persists, why did the UNM set October as the election's date? But let's not raise this issue anymore because it may cause misunderstanding from the part of the international community, end quote. Certainly it has caused misunderstanding by me as to what he's talking about. Like, I don't, you know.
I'll tell you what he's talking about. Don't you remember when NG and I said that they were going to make, they were going to have some sort of case against the fact? Wait.
NG and I is a domestic monitoring organization closely affiliated with the national movement.
New Generation, New Initiative, yes. Also supported by the International Republican Institute, I believe. But that NGNI said that they were going to have a case against how the parliament's term was too short and the president's term was too long. Because, remember, it's only supposed to be 5 years. And so now the president's term is actually much longer. Well, not much longer, but, a couple months longer than it should be because it's supposed to be a five-year term. And so what they're talking about, you know, Bidzina is basically saying, you know, he wants to curtail the president's powers earlier than the presidential elections in October 2013, basically saying that, well, I don't know if this is exactly his logic, but also in saying that his term is more than 5 years. But I liked the idea, though, that he said, you know, let's not get, you know, let's not talk about it too much because we'll get the, you know, everybody's kind of,
He has a little bit of the problem that he thinks, really, as Mark said, a lot of things without thinking
them
through
before. He should have kept that one inside.
Like, I think he gave, like, a three-hour press conference last Friday live.
Yeah.
And then he was, like, just, you know, talking, like, stream
whatever.
Of consciousness. And then he was saying, yeah, you know, I could merge my TV station with the public broadcaster.
Yeah, there's an interesting idea, yeah.
And then if somebody says, how are you going to do that? It's a bit of a weird approach. And then he was like, oh, people are attacking me. They don't understand what I'm saying. And it's like,
at a press conference day before yesterday, Justice Minister Teo Tsilukiani announced that the investigation of the 2005 death of Prime Minister Tsvetaeva has been resumed and is moving forward quickly, according to the official preliminary conclusions. He died of carbon monoxide poisoning caused by a faulty gas heater. You heard that correctly. Officially, the case has not been closed. Former Defense Minister Irakli Okruashvili said to his lawyer, Irmach Kadua, quote, when I heard about Vanya's death, I went up to Misha. He was sitting with his head down. I thought he was nervous, but suddenly he raised his head and said, we have gotten rid of a big problem, end quote. Also, and, you know...
That's amazing.
You know, like, that's yeah.
super...
Well, I mean, you know, okay.
That's super knows? Big, he said.
Yeah, that's big, but, I mean, Irakli Okoroshvili is not the, you know, least biased source on the planet. Also, Tsoulikiani announced that Georgia submitted the plan for the execution of a verdict of the Ghirbliani case to the execution department of the Committee of Ministers at the Strasbourg Court. Previous government had delayed execution of the verdict for more than 1.5 years. Tsoulikiani promised that Georgia will provide the court in Strasbourg a report on the ongoing reinvestigation of the Ghirbliani murder before the 31st of January 2013. So, you know, remember that Teo Tsoulikiani was the person in the Strasbourg Human Rights Court dealing with all the Georgian cases. And in fact, she was dealing with the Ghirbliani case specifically until she left the court before the local elections 2.5 years ago.
I believe the coroner's report said that he died either through multiple stab wounds or from exposure overnight.
Yeah. I mean, certainly she knows this case very, very well. Yeah.
And there's a very good the decision where the Georgian government lost this case at the European Courts of Human Rights. It's a very good decision, as I've mentioned here before, worth the read.
Yeah, take a read that if you
and
can.
And also with Shvania, one interesting element is that his son is an MP, no?
Zura Shvania's son?
No, sorry.
His brother
is an MP. No?
His son Boose is about 15 years old, so I don't know.
No, his brother is involved, I think, and just recently was testifying or something.
His brother said, I mean...
Or the widow. There's family members that have been somewhat closely linked with the Georgian Dream campaign.
Well, his Zura Shvania's brother has always said... Shvania had a strange way of putting out his cigarettes where he wouldn't smoke them down that far and he'd sort of break them in half. And the way it was clear an ashtray of cigarettes that he'd smoked, and he smoked a lot. And the cigarettes that were in there were not ones that he'd put out. And so that was something that his brother was very concerned with. And there was a lot of strange things in that case. And, of course, all sorts of stories.
Man who died in the same apartment.
Right, it was a young Azeri guy. And so, you know, I don't know, there were a lot of stories floating around there, and some of those stories would give reasons for why there was a cover-up and whatever else. And I don't know, it's a big mess, but it would be good to hear what the, you know, what the whole story was. At the same press conference on the 27th of November, Justice Minister Tsoulikiani said that approximately 700 cases now under investigation by the Human Rights Court in Strasbourg may be returned to Georgia for reconsideration. She also suggested the European Court of Human Rights will soon have a ruling on the expulsion of Georgian citizens from Russia with respect to another complaint related to the August 2008 war that was filed to the Strasbourg court. Tsoulikiani said that procedures are still underway and it is difficult to predict the verdict. 24 Hours reported that Tsoulikiani visited the public service hall and requested an electronic ID card for herself. She declared that people who don't want to have an electronic ID card because of their religious views should not be forced to have them.
That's because they're supposedly related to the devil?
Yes, because the chip looks apparently like the devil's face, as some priests have found out. But then there was, I think the patriarch at some point said, calm down, people. This is not the devil.
The patriarch has spoken, so yeah, there you have it. You know.
There was a few months ago.
So go ahead and have an electronic ID. Don't study abroad, you know, because that could, you know, do who knows what to do.
The devil's face is not your ID.
Right. Today, Interior Ministry Irakli Gharibashvili told Maestro TV that the number of minor crimes has increased by 50%. He added that there's nothing alarming about this, and law enforcement will take control of the situation throughout the country very soon. That would be good. There has been a lot of anecdotal discussion about crime. I mean, I know people who've had cars broken into, and you know, I would say that there's just a lot of discussion about. There seems to be more, you know, feelings that you know, there's an increase in petty crime. Yeah. What's going to happen there, or whether that's true, you know, whether that is some sort of chantage or not, you know, who knows.
But yeah, the minister argued, I think, that it was caused by the power vacuum in the ministry. All the senior people left, the kind of low-level police people didn't have any instructions, didn't know what to do. And he said, now we're in control. Yeah, we are motivating people again. And
excellent.
You know,
yeah. This from Black Sea Press yesterday. According to BI, Misha costs 150,000 lari per day. He noted that the government must continue to cut unnecessary costs. Harsh. This from civil.ge on November 26th. Medabashvili said that UNM's goal is renewal and strengthening. He said that UNM would be competing in all the elections, whether MP by-elections or presidential elections in the coming year. Interestingly, Medabashvili added that the UNM would be pushing for making all the key local government posts in the provinces directly elected.
Just in time.
Yeah, which that they clearly are working hard on the local elections in 2 years. Little frustrating that the UNM didn't see fit to deal with that, you know, the last local elections or maybe in the last year when they had a constitutional majority. But, you know, for whatever reason, they decided that central authority was better for Georgia at that point, but not now. That's a very, very important thing for Georgia, and there's not much because the you know USAID and everybody else has written all their strategic plans before the election. There's not really much money around for local government discussion and how Georgia should set up its local government. But that's a very, very important thing to discuss. Speaking of local politics, lots been happening there. Rustaviotti reported on the 27th of November that people rallied outside of Martvili's Sacrobulo. Martvili always famous for having among the more messed up elections in Georgia. It's in eastern Somogrelo near, well, a little closer to Kutaisi, actually, oh, right, okay. Bordering, what do you call it, Khoni, the hippest rayon in Georgia. So outside of Martvili Sacrobulo demanding the resignation of Sacrobulo chairperson Zal Gorozia and Governor Mamuka Danelia, representatives of the parliamentary minority Koba Subeliani, Sergo Ratiani, and Shota Malashkia arrived in town to alleviate the tension, but the protesters prevented them from entering the building and threw brooms at them in protest. I even heard they chucked some chairs out the window. About 40 people from Zugdidi have joined the demonstration. Info 9 reports on November 26 that young people placed tents in front of Lanchkuti municipality seeking the resignation of acting governor Kaja Askurava and chairman Revaz Chitidze.
So that acting governor, of course, is still the person who's been appointed by Saakashvili.
I guess.
Because it's a Georgian dream that is involved.
Yes, but there are some cases where the people that the Georgian dream appointed are not so popular either. Info 9 report on November 26th that governor of Lagodechi, Dmitry Loladze, has submitted his resignation. The head of the assembly, Yosef Chemaladze, is now the currently acting governor. Channel 1 reported yesterday that Zurab Kurashvili, the newly appointed Georgian Dream Coalition governor of Tel Aviv municipality, dismissed his two deputies. The post will be taken up by Georgian Dream Coalition members Dato Napieli and Aliko Tsagarishvili. Channel 1 reported on November 27th that Dusheti Town residents demanded the resignation of Zaza Kakachia as the new head of police because he has insulted as well as physically assaulted people.
And illegally fined people. And I'm not sure what, you know, how the illegal fine is.
The way an illegal fine works is if you have a uniform, you go up to somebody and say, give me money.
Right. Okay.
So that's not.
In the Martvili case, I read that the thing that got people very annoyed is that apparently the local government sold some pastry land a year ago or so.
Pastry? Oh,
how do you say? No, no, it's not pastry. Like,
oh,
where the
pasture.
Pasture. Oh, pasture.
Yes. In Austria, it's pastry.
Ich bin ein Berliner.
Yeah.
We come from the land of chocolate.
Okay, anyways. The land was sold where all the cows were hanging out.
Yeah, that's a big mess because they, you know, they'll have their people that use pasture that's owned by the municipality. Municipality sells it, yeah. And they're like, "That's not fair," and it's, you know, it's a serious issue, and not clear how to deal with it.
I think, though, you know, anyway, this is. There's been a lot of discussion among the international community about, you know, maintaining political pluralism and, you know, ensuring that there's kind of, you know, that the Georgian dream or the ruling party makes sure that they have an opposition. And it's quite interesting, you know, because people are comparing this to Western countries where they say, you know, like that's like saying that, you know, the Social Democrats in, I don't know, wherever, Germany should make sure that the whoever is, you know, strong party. But what's interesting is that, you know, if you use stronger language and if you look at kind of what's been happening in Georgia, I think it makes sense. You know, you need to talk about what the ruling party needs to make sure does not happen is that you don't stomp out any sort of opposition. And I think that's what's a little bit disconcerting, I would say, about what's happening on the local level, is that people probably feel physically threatened if they're resigning and are kind of, you know, I would say there's more probably a physical issue rather than an ideological thing.
I really think that a big reason that Otsneba won the elections was because of fear, that people were scared of the national movement in a lot of places. Whether or not that was reasonable or not, I don't know. The national movement says, you know, okay, some people may have been ridiculous and paranoid, but I don't know. But so if there is this type of sort of local jockeying for position, and the national movement people, you know, are afraid. There are a lot of supporters of the national movement, and you know, that could that in the end ends up building the party somewhat.
But it's interesting though, because the discussion is about, you know, making sure that the ruling party maintains an opposition and allows for an opposition to remain strong.
Right.
And given the context that we're in, oh, I finally got to the point where I get to say, given the Georgian context.
You can't ever say, given the Georgian context, you can't ever say, within the framework of post-Soviet space, you can never ever say that.
Well, the way they, you know, what the government can do or should do is to, you know, reform maybe the constitution wherever it's necessary and the electoral system, and not by themselves, but in a broad consultation, and to make sure that the electoral system is designed in a way that gives a fairly good chance to smaller fractions and smaller groups to be you know, equally represented.
Absolutely, and not the way that the national movement did it,
exactly.
Which is to sit down for a year and have conversations that went nowhere, and then at the last minute to do exactly what they had planned to do all along. So let's hope that that doesn't happen. It's also a good idea to do that
now
rather than, you know, say
before
4 months
clear
before the election.
That's
not such a good idea. Le Figaro reported on November 24th that, according to Vice Speaker Manana Kobakhidze, quote, the former government considers the protection of minorities, including sexual minorities, as inherent to democracy. All citizens are equal in European countries, but it is difficult for us to accept this because it goes against the ethics of Orthodox Christianity, end quote.
I was just about to give her a huzzah, but then...
Yeah, I know. It's like, you know, and then she started talking. It was funny because after a while then she said, like, you know, Le Figaro is like this, you know, I don't know, not very reputable paper, and they misquoted me, and
well,
then she said
French,
she didn't actually...
If that's your excuse,
didn't give the interview, and I don't know. It was all a little, you know, complicated. Yeah, it'd be nice if we could get a little clarity on the position that they have about this. Prime News Agency reported on November 27th that the new parliamentary faction Georgian Dream Conservatives was set up. It's headed by MP Giga Bukia. The members are Zvia Dzidzikuri, hero of the early 90s, as well as an MP who recently left UNM. On November 25th, Tabula.ge reported that Tiniko Khidasheli, one of the leaders of Georgian Dream Otsneba, was elected a board member of Gaila. Yikes. At the meeting where she was elected, her husband, Dato Usupashvili, chairman of parliament and founder of Georgian Young Lawyers, interestingly declared that if NGOs and governments are friends, one of them is behaving incorrectly.
Which one?
Good question.
Both, maybe.
Yeah, that's, you know, she has often been recently quite a divisive figure, and it's sort of unclear what role she's playing up in the leadership of Otsneba. But
I smell a divorce.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
but Gaila is a membership-based organization, so you would expect that the membership votes on the board, no?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
So, if the membership votes, then...
There it is. I mean, that's, you know, that's that. Channel One reported yesterday that the finance ministry is investigating 8 Tbilisi City Hall services. The cleaning service is completed with the investigation, but that's also the City Hall Administration, Welfare Service, Purchasing Department, Architectural Service, Rehabilitation and Development Fund of Old Tbilisi, Tbilisi Development Fund, and Tbil Service Group LTD are all being investigated. Yeah, looks as if they're very, very interested in hitting Gigi Ugulava, mayor of Tbilisi, and, you know, former aspirant for bigger and better things.
I think still aspirant.
Yeah, well, right. Black Sea Press reported yesterday that on the order of Finance Minister Nadar Khaduri of potato fame, the Revenue Service...
What is the potato fame?
Did you hear about this?
Don't you have to remind us, like, every week?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, he made some weird comment about potatoes and the prices falling.
Oh, yes.
And
yeah,
pension is connected, there's a...
If you increase the pension price, then it will increase the price of potatoes.
Oh, and so like trying to explain inflation.
I don't know, man. It was all very complicated.
Yeah.
No,
a Georgian friend of mine explained it to me, so then he was joking. He said, so then just, you know, what you should do is you should lower the pension price, and then the price of potatoes will lower too.
And there you have it. Good for the budget. We all win.
No pensions, and we have communism, and like free potatoes for everybody.
Exactly. You know, it all goes back to the potato. Okay, so Khaduri, the Revenue Service Ministry, conducted an audit of Rustaviotti, Imedi, and Real TV related to the debt, tax debts written off by the former government. Former Prime Minister Vano Merabashvili ordered that tens of millions of lari owed in taxes be written off by Georgian TV channels. For example, Rustaviotti company had a 20 million lari thing written off.
So right after the elections, the government, the outgoing government, issued a decree that allowed the Revenue Service, which is the entity that collects the taxes, to kind of negotiate agreements with TV channels that owed them taxes individually, and they could agree on, you know, just forgiving the debt.
Wait, which election?
This election.
How many times have they had their debt forgiven then? Because they had their debt forgiven also
in 2010,
a couple years ago,
it took them 2 years to accumulate a lot
more
of tax
debt.
So what's happening?
They just
here
didn't
is like,
pay their taxes. As
they
the
just
only
they
company.
Didn't pay their they didn't pay their taxes, and they, you know, they, the revenue, the advertising revenue, is an inside deal, as we all know, as reported on by the hardest working NGO in Georgia, Transparency International Georgia, and so. You know, with this, it was just a, since they were government controlled, as we know. Right. For example, when that you know, that guy
the guy who was killed or died
in police custody by, and I'm saying this with air quotes, fell down a staircase. The reporting on First Channel, Rustaviotti and Imedi were all exactly the same words as reported on by TI. So. You know, clearly everybody knew they were working for the government, and this is just a present that that they could give them, which is not very fair. Now, what they would say is, "Well, we saved Channel 25 and Batumi by doing this, and whatever." But I mean, it was really just a gift to government friendly media. Interpress News reports on November 25th that the Interior Ministry accuses former Prime Minister Vano Merabashvili of violating the law when he was Interior Minister. Although he officially dismissed the head of Kudi, Data Khalaya, the head of General Inspection, Basil Sanodze, in 2006, these individuals still unofficially headed the departments and had access to classified information. Both were restored to their positions on Merabashvili's order in 2008.
Were these not both of the people that were also sentenced for the Girgliani murder? And
yes,
so
they
spent time in jail, and then they had their sentences halved after.
Yes.
So you get, you know, like a kid will get, or at that time, you know, you could have a kid steal a cell phone and get, what, 14 years or something ridiculous, you know? And
right.
Then they got, what, 7 years or something, and then they served all of what,
year two, and then. But I heard they were also out during some of the time, so it was not a good inside deal there.
And Data Akhalai, of course, the brother of
Bacha Akhalai, sons of Roland Akhalai, member of parliament for Zugdidi with the National Movement, and former chief prosecutor of Samagrella. Rustaviotti reported yesterday that the investigation into the death of Colonel Sergo Tetradze has been resumed. The chief prosecutor declared he did not die from a heart attack, but from torture. Alexandre Mukhiadze, the former head of Goldani Prison No. 8, is not in Georgia, but he will be charged anyway. Oleg Patsatsia, the head of the regime service, Viktor Khachishvili, and head of security, and Alexei Tetrashvili, a prisoner at the time, are all in prison because of this case. Tetradze was serving a sentence in pretrial detention in Goldani No. 8 on espionage charges.
Interesting that Rustavi too has that story.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're, you know,
doing a bit better than before.
Evidently. But yeah, I'd be curious to see what, you know, what viewership is, and if more people are watching them now, because certainly not so many people did before. Interpress News reported on November 23rd that four high-ranking officials of Kudi and Sodi were released on bail of between 5 and 15,000 lari each.
I'd like to point out that we actually forgot last week to say that it was the 9th anniversary of the Rose Revolution on the 23rd of November, and also Gheorghe Oba.
That was the day after the podcast.
Was it the day after? Yeah. Okay. So the,
can't forget that.
But this was the first year that it was not recognized or celebrated.
Exactly. Exactly. Following up on last week's story about the photo reporter's case, TV9 has released a video footage in which two Kuti officials attempted to force the photographers Georgi Abdaladze and Zurab Kurtzikidze to fire their four lawyers instead of take designated lawyers to defend them. Abdaladze was given the footage by an unnamed source.
I remember that because there was that big story about how they were refusing to see their lawyers, if you remember the time.
Rustavioti reported on November 27th that the Ministry of Interior seized unregistered firearms from the Kuti building in Zugdidi that covers Abkhazia. According to the Interior Ministry, Roma Shamatava, a high-ranking Kuti official, brought various munitions to the office and handed it over to his deputy, telling him to store it in the basement. Channel 1 reported today that the Kakheti Regional Prosecutor's Office detained Dato Lord Kipanidze, the former deputy of Kuti and Kakheti Region, for exceeding authority. This from Interpress News on the 27th, by calculations of Prison Minister Sosar Subhani, after Parliament adopts the amnesty bill, about 6,500 prisoners will be released.
Yeah, and that's, and the bill is still under discussion, but if you want to check out at the Transparency International Georgia website, we listed all the crimes that will be considered for the amnesty. And that's a very popular piece of information.
Exactly. The Georgian language version of that, we got over 5,000 hits in a few hours. A lot of people checking that out.
And I think the list is supposed to be officially released on the 5th of December, is that right?
Yeah, I think they're fine-tuning it still. But it's a long list of articles from the criminal code that falls under this amnesty.
Yeah. Following up on last week's story about the construction company NCC, Black Sea Press reported on November 23rd that the Tbilisi City Court released the general director of NCC, Gegi Kelbakhiani, on 150,000 lari bail. Finance manager Archil Chogovadze was not given bail. Black Sea Press reports on November 23rd that the prison ministry has dismissed 16 officials based on prison complaints and the new prison hotline, which allows family members to directly complain to officials. Interpress News reported today that the so-called thief in law and one of the leaders of the criminal world, Badri D, was, it kind of sounds like a rapper actually, was detained.
That's
at
his
Tbilisi,
second career.
Was deplaned at Tbilisi International Airport. He's accused of purchasing and possessing drugs.
There's no Georgian gangster rap, right?
Not that I know of, man. Yeah. I don't know. Somebody ought to get going on that.
No, there's
on
only
that.
Either pro-government or anti-government.
or sons of government.
Is that right?
That's
that.
The new one, yeah.
Right. Dream. That's not very gangster. So. Kaja Beka Odi, the director of TV9, will resign from his post and be replaced by the head of Info9, Luba Elashvili. Her husband is a Georgian Dream MP from Vake. She has a reputation being very close to BI and is expected to turn TV9 into an even less nuanced mouthpiece of the government than it is now, according to chatter among media people. It's not clear yet what Becca Odi will do next, but there might be job openings at the public broadcaster or the National Communications Commission soon. Several reports have left Maestro TV and moved to reporters have left Maestro TV and moved to Imedi, apparently because Maestro is short of cash, although it now has lots and lots of ads. Hmm. Some people speculate that Maestro has been funded by BI and he has now cut his funding. Other rumors, Rustavioti allegedly has cut salaries for their staff, and media sector people are speculating that the government is seeking to have friendly and close relations with the new Imedi TV.
Yeah, and there's also stories that a lot of the people who have been working for TV9, that lots of the producers and higher-level people, that they're all leaving now because they were, I think, hoping that after the elections it would become a more depoliticized channel and that they would have more freedom. But with this change of the management, it becomes clear that Pizzino wants to keep this as his, like, direct mouthpiece.
Well, did you hear anything more about Imedi TV and the, like, being sold for 4 gel or whatever it was?
That was done. So that was written off, and then they were just, everybody got the lari, and then...
And there we have
new people. So it's now the new director there is the former editor-in-chief of Forbes, of the Georgian Forbes edition.
Which
and then
last very long.
His news deputy is the former head of Interpress News, who also worked at Imedi when Badri was running it for his political purposes, as far as I know.
Interpress News report on November 25th that the governor of the village of Kabul, Jamal Niyazov, was arrested for 2 days, questioned in Tel Aviv, and released from custody after paying bail. According to his family, Niyazov had a heart attack, but it's unclear if there's any connection between that and the detention. In September, former sportsman Luka Kortanidze, the unsuccessful Georgian Dream MP candidate in Lagodechi, was recorded intimidating Niyazov in a pretty aggressive way, much listened to on Facebook. Kavkaz Press reported on November 24th that South Ossetia has handed over 3 Georgian citizens after detaining them for 2 months for illegally crossing the border, the de facto border. They were arrested on September 17th when the 3 went to Kirbali village in Gori district to get firewood.
I think that there's actually going to be some sort of administrative boundary line. Kind of, it will be easier to cross during the holiday season, at least to Abkhazia, I've heard tell.
That would be nice.
Yeah, well, to visit graves and see relatives and things like that.
Channel One reported today that the officers of the Ministry of Interior arrested 3 employees of the Sheeta Kartli's governor's administration, all 3 of whom were accused of possession of drugs.
That's always a claim where you could, you know, some eyebrows are raised because it's always very easy to, you know, put some heroin in some bag and say...
Indeed. I remember in 2004, people were afraid literally to drive with their windows down because they were saying that people could just throw drugs in the back and then they'd get pulled over.
Yeah, true. People.ge, a site controlled by the UNM mouthpiece Droney.ge, reported on November 21st that the list of political prisoners up for amnesty was a source of dispute within Georgian Dream. People.ge claims that the chair of the Human Rights Committee, Eka Baseli, was paid by prisoners' families to put unknown people on the list. However, they do not specify who they are referring to. As we say, the list will come out December 5th. Black Sea Press reported yesterday that Koba Otanadze and Levan Amiridze, sentenced for organizing a mutiny at the Mukhrovani military base in 2009, insist their names be removed from the present political prisoners list and that they receive separate consideration of their cases. They expressed their indignation that their names on the list were next to Gia Khvaladze, who was accused of involvement in the mutiny case, but took a plea bargain and was released.
So it's an honor thing?
Well, I guess. They got to be pretty ticked off at him. You know, Guy ought to make sure that he, hangs out with friends. Yeah. Prime News Agency reported on November 22nd that the minority MP, Ako Minashvili, was summoned to the prosecutor's office as a witness in the case of Tengiz Gunava, former head of General Inspection, the Interior Ministry. He was detained a few days ago for possession of drugs and weapons.
This is amazing, though. All this drugs and weaponry.
A lot of drugs and weapons. Yeah. Those charges are...
Well, the Ministry of Interior, it's quite likely that people have still guns somewhere in their apartments, but the drugs is always another story, I guess.
Prime News Agency reported on November 26th that the leader of Kartuli Dasi, Jondi Bakhaturi, accused former Justice Minister Zura Deishvili and his subordinates of extorting money from businessmen. According to him, former prosecutor David Sakhvarelidze participated in this extortion.
And there was another claim against Adeishvili this week. Shagvaramishvili, who has an extremely popular, or several extremely popular shows on Maestro TV, in the past week had a former UNM MP as his guest. This MP was the guy who basically caused Ramishvili's arrest, I think, in 2008 or something like this.
Oh, yeah. He was in for 4 years.
It was earlier.
It was like...
Yeah, so there was... At the time, Ramishvili was accused of having offered... Of having taken $100,000 in cash from this MP... In exchange for letting a story die about this MP. It was on hidden camera, and he was arrested for extortion.
Wait, no, come on, it wasn't something like that. This is the most awesome story, because Ramishvili was supposed to be like some sort of investigative journalist at the time, or have, anyway, a journalist of some sort, and so he said that he was going to, actually, he wanted to have a case against the guy who essentially was saying, like, I'm offering you money in order not to run the story, but he forgot his camera.
Yes. Anyways, the guy he was dealing with, who offered the money, now came on his show and said, you know, it wasn't me, it was Adeishvili and all these people who coerced me into, you know, kind of
offering money
you
that
and,
you then decided to take while I
That aspect wasn't clarified yet.
Interfax reported on November 26th that Jaba Ebanoidze, the former head of the Revenue Service, has received a summons to an interrogation at the chief prosecutor's office. An excellent guy, by the way, and the guy who really built up the whole computer system of the civil and public registry. Maestro TV reported on November 25th that Soso Chikobaba, a 45-year-old man, was murdered on Marginashvili Avenue behind the Russian church. Chikobaba worked for the tax service during the previous government, said he was shot six times.
And there were actually several murders over the past couple of weeks in that neighborhood, at least three. Some people who live there say that some of the people are, you know, like old gangster-style people, and that now maybe some old open bills are settled.
Scores are being settled.
Yeah.
AFP report on November 27th that Georgia has doubled the number of troops deployed to Afghanistan to 1,570, making Georgia the largest non-NATO contributor to the Afghan mission. Also this week, Defense Minister Irakli Alasania visited Afghanistan. Prime News Agency reported on the 26th of November that Tbilisi Mayor Guy Yugalava responded to Chief Prosecutor Archil Kvilashvili, who demanded that the mayor provide documents related to his business trip. Ugalava, playing the I am a mensch card, stated that although he was not legally required to submit documents, he did so. Also playing the I don't want to get arrested card, he went ahead. Livepress.g reported on November 27th that Inel Kashigi, editor of the Abkhaz Weekly newspaper,
Chegimskaya Pravda
reported that international NGOs won't be able to cooperate in Abkhazia outside of Gali City. According to his report, this does not apply to the Red Cross and Doctors Without Borders.
This is actually, there's been a lot of discussion about this lately. Essentially, the de facto authorities up in Abkhazia have been quite concerned about what would be happening after the elections. And there has been discussion essentially about registration of international non-governmental organizations. The de facto Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Abkhazia has a department that actually is responsible for overseeing the work of international NGOs. And they've been having some meetings with representatives of these INGOs and have recently made very strong statements about the quality of the work that they think that they're providing, and essentially said that there's a Russian master plan that and the amount of money that the Russians are putting into Abkhazia dwarfs the amount that international assistance that essentially comes directed through Tbilisi to Abkhazia. If I didn't already say dwarfs, it's, you know, it's about, what, I think 15 million or something. And so they said, yeah, thanks. Why don't you go and work in Gali, because that's the area that was most affected by the war, and those are the places that, you know, kind of need more assistance. So it's, you know, yeah. I think this guy is kind of one of the more or less independent reporters there, but this has been a long time.
And there was a foreign researcher that was recently not allowed to enter Abkhazia.
Who's this?
Someone
who will remain unnamed.
But who does some critical writing about like that.
The Messenger reported on November 15th that BI met nearly 400 representatives of the Georgian diaspora in Brussels. He declared that he will establish a fund that will have 75% government co-financing, or his co-financing, or something like that. The problem there is that, you know, well, what about those that don't get financing from the prime minister? You know, might that be politically complicated? And there have been some that have expressed concerns about that. Prime News Agency report on November 27th that leader of Free Georgia Party Kaja Kukava proposed that Parliament amend laws regarding Georgia's flag such that it cannot be put up alongside flags of any other foreign country on most state office buildings. The reason why? Because it diminishes the role and meaning of the Georgian flag.
No more EU flags that are actually
Kukava, like, what a goofball, you know.
No, but we have the same thing, I thought, in the U.S., where the United States flag is supposed to be the one that flies the highest always.
No, it's like, it's protocol. Like, you know, they have, I mean, it's pretty similar in, you know, in all countries. I mean, I don't see why they need to. Does Georgia really need to deal with this right now? You know, I mean, let's wait till you know.
Well, let's talk about who changed the flag first. I mean, that was one of Misha's first things.
Yeah, absolutely, and a little bit Yeah, that was actually his first act, was signing that into the law, creating the new flag before he put the crown on his head. I mean, before he signed the little document himself. Because
they
he didn't
make
want
the Georgian dream, just the flag, the logo of the party becomes the new flag. It would be a good tradition to keep up, like the ruling party logo.
The ruling party changes the flags, everything's like, yeah, great, that's what you need. Don't give him any ideas. Okay, GBC report on November 26th that former Defense Minister Dato Kezarashvili is no longer one of Gulf Georgia's shareholders. Dato Yakubashvili has increased his share in the company. Yakubashvili is founder of Vimbil Dan, one of the major food product manufacturers in Eastern Europe. Kezarashvili was defense minister until he left politics in 2008. The Georgian Lottery Company is also linked to his name. However, he denies being the owner.
Well, because he had some offshore company that is the owner, and his son-in-law or something like that.
Indeed.
And Gulf is actually a company located in Delaware, USA.
Delaware? What do you know? Delaware,
where it's,
USA.
It's very convenient. You can register a company in Delaware without ever providing any documentation about your identity, which is...
That's bad.
Yeah.
Magazine Resonanzi published an interview yesterday with Zal Yakubidze, founder of Senta, in which he declares that he was forced to sell the company. The then shareholder of Gulf, Kezarashvili, former Minister of Defense, forced him to sell the company at a very low price. He was arrested and forced to pay $6 million in bail. Sarkey Information Agency reported on November 27th that there will be new management of Georgian Railways, as well as a new management team. The new person, Oleg Bichiashvili, worked in the same position under Shevardnadze when the role of Railways was to funnel money to Aslan Abashidze from Azerbaijan. Played a very destructive role in the corruption landscape of Georgia.
Not very encouraging, because the Georgian Railways has been one of the cash cows of the government. I mean, they have made more than $100 million a year in revenues for
sure.
For
and it's pretty, and the service is pretty good. They've really upgraded the train to Batumi is great. So they keep providing passenger service as well.
Yeah.
Sarkey Information Agency reported on November 22nd that the State Audit Service will investigate the expenditures on the new Parliament building during its construction in Kutaisi, which was 360 million lari. About $200 million. Interpress News reported that the partnership fund returned ownership of the parliament building to Tbilisi, in Tbilisi, to the legislative body. Prime News Agency reported on the 27th that Gori firefighters went on strike demanding increase in salary and health insurance, and later they met with municipal officials. Demands were met. On November 27th, Prime News Agency reported that 32 socially vulnerable families asked the embassy of Switzerland for asylum to help them with the Georgian government. They say if the demand is not met, they will address the embassies of Germany, France, and the USA. They're ready to reject Georgian citizenship since the government does not take care of them. And they will even go so far as accepting Swiss, German, French, or American citizenship.
I was wondering if it was because the Russian connection, actually, that they were in front of the Swiss.
You got me. Could be. I mean, there's a different Swiss embassy, and then there's the Swiss handle the Russian affairs section,
right,
or whatever it is.
Oh, so it's located in different places.
Yeah, I think so. Sarkey Information Agency reported on November 27th that a parliamentary committee is discussing amendments to the labor code, which would require employers to give 30 days notice before laying off employees and written reason for dismissal. And pay a month's salary, which, you know, would be a step up in labor rights compared to the current situation where there's virtually none. GEWord.GE reported yesterday that there's a bill in Parliament that would introduce a 100 lari fine for selling products of a sexual character in places where children's clothing and toys are also sold. Whatever.
There's no. I don't think there's one sex shop in all of.
I've never ever. Like, I mean, who knows what they're talking about?
Maybe they're talking about newspapers that have nudity.
I don't know. Interpress News reported yesterday that Channel One will be legally obliged to promote NATO integration in the EU and to make viewers aware of events regarding the occupied territories. How do you do that? How do you legally oblige them to promote something like NATO, you know?
Well, So they have a little bit of a stupid idea, if I may, to do that. The idea is to require them to air 10-second advertisements every hour that promote NATO and EU. So that they have to show kind of social advertising or government announcements that say, you know, here's a NATO flag and this is something good.
They currently have, what isn't it, they currently have to show 60 seconds, and then they're saying of those 60 seconds, 10 seconds would have to be devoted to promoting NATO and the EU.
Which I don't think is the right approach. Like, propaganda is not good. Information is better. Information and debate.
Absolutely. This from Interfax News on the 24th. Fadi Asli, head of the world's largest business association, International Chamber of Commerce branch in Georgia, said that there's been no single foreign investment made in Georgia since a new government took office, and it has to do with the government's non-investor-friendly policies. Maybe, I don't know, 2 months, that's not much time. I'm not sure where he has that information, but, you know, it could be. GBC reports on the 27th that the government expects double-digit growth in over the next 3 years because of its economic reforms. They'll come from the medium-sized business sector, antitrust measures, and development of the Georgian Stock Exchange. Following up on last week's story about Robert Sturdo, Netgazeti.ge reported on November 19th that the culture minister, Guramo Dishadia, has asked Robert Sturdo, a former director of the Rustaveli State Theater, to come back to the theater. He was sacked earlier for xenophobic remarks and moved to Russia. As listeners of TobiopOd.com will know, his xenophobic and discriminatory statements include, quote, "Why are people surprised that a human being can't stand other nationalities? Now, if I start saying how I love Negroes, I may not love them at all for certain reasons, not because they are Negroes, but because they are slightly backward in terms of culture," end quote. Quote, "The president is half Armenian. Too soon for us. It's too soon for us to have a president who is not Georgian," end quote. Quote, "Nothing is built in Batumi except for tastelessness. Batumi has been transformed into a Turkish toilet." Journalist, "Why should one have such an attitude? Why should one not love his own people?" Quote, "He is Armenian. Misha is Armenian. What can we do?" Yeah,
I thought he said he was misquoted.
I don't know, man. Sturdo, you know,
it's the secret agenda, I guess, of Armenians to become a Georgian president, and then kind of allow the Turks to come.
Exactly, it's the conduit. It all makes sense now. Right? Black Sea Press reported on November 23rd that the NGO Earth Our Home demands the Ministry of Culture to close the Tbilisi Museum of Soviet Occupation, which is a great museum, by the way, and everyone ought to check it out. Sarki Information Agency reported on November 26th that the environmental organization Green Alternative requests that the prosecutor's office investigate violations during the construction of a dam on Tergi River. They came, the company that built it, Darial Energy, has not had permits to do so. Sarki Information Agency reported on the 26th that Israeli air carrier Arkia and Estonian Air suspended flights until spring. Gallup poll conducted in 140 countries regarding on how emotional or unemotional people are. Georgia tied with Lithuania for second place least emotional countries. Singapore was the number one least emotional place. That's just weird. I don't really get that, man.
Yeah. I think Gallup also won recently awards for not being the most trustworthy pollster.
Gallup is really, I mean, Gallup, and there's lots of different Gallups. And,
well, because they franchise.
I trust Gallup as far as I can throw a piano. Netgazeti GE reported on November 23rd that the Bishop...
Mark is a pretty strong guy. He can throw a piano pretty
well. All right. That the Bishop of Martkoppi and... You know, okay, this is a story about what a goofball this bishop is. It's too long. I don't want to read it. Yesterday, Channel 9 reported that locals in Nigziani Village, our favorite Nigziani Village with the painful Christians and Muslim situation, gathered at a school to discuss a statement addressed to Parliament in which they declare that the Christians don't want Muslim villagers to pray in the village.
I'm going to go have a pagan ritual there.
Yeah, exactly. A vegetarian pagan ritual. I'll bring the pig to slaughter and have some goji. These guys need to get it together. And somebody needs to talk about the fact that, you know, if you're Muslim, like, you know, you get to, like, do whatever you want and pray, you know, and somebody needs to tell them to pipe down, you know.
Yeah, and we're not talking these are just locals who happen to be from another village.
Right, exactly.
And they were meeting in someone's home.
And it was someone's house, too. Yeah, exactly.
We're not saying that anybody's setting up Sharia, you know.
Exactly, right. For all of those listeners in, Arizona and Oklahoma, we're not advocating Sharia, okay, in Georgia.
I'm wearing my headscarf right now.
All right. Prime News Agency report on November 27th that an 8-time world record breaker, police captain Yosub Khutsashvili, achieved his 9th world record at the Ministry of Interior Sports Complex. He did 50 push-ups in 30 seconds with his left fist and 51 on his right in another 30 seconds without resting.
Is this the guy who also pulled a truck around on his ear?
No, I think that's a different guy.
That guy was really Mustafi.
He has really strong ears. This guy has really strong arms. Rugby.ge reported on November 24th that Fiji handed Georgia its 4th consecutive defeat after beating their host 24-19 in Tbilisi. The Fijians trailed 19-18 during halftime but converted 2 penalty kicks in the second half to win the match. They started out with the haka, actually, according, which I thought was just a Kiwi thing, but according to Tbilpod.com sports correspondents, it struck fear into the Georgian hearts. GeoCapital number, each pod pack we feature the GeoCapital number, of which I'm a shareholder. It is 306 lari, roughly $200. That is the total volume of trades that took place on the Georgian Stock Exchange during last Wednesday's trading session.
That's probably a good day, yeah.
On the same day, more than 3 billion shares were traded on the New York Stock Exchange. I mean, not a very fair comparison, let's be real, but okay, fine. After regulatory changes in 2008 that allowed over-the-counter trading of publicly traded stocks in Georgia, the Georgian Stocks Exchange died fairly quickly, and with almost no trades taking place there. That over-the-counter trading means that they don't have to go to the exchange. It's just between individuals without any regulatory oversight or, one might add, transparency. It would be very easy to move trades to the stock exchange by amending that law and doing it electronically. And let's hope that the new government does that and that the stock exchange has fairly stringent transparency requirements, which would be good for everybody. But no surprise in 2008 why they wanted to remove those transparency provisions. A Tbilpod.com listener has taken it upon himself to count the number of you knows I said last week. He counted 51. Thank you, Laszlo.
Next task, the number of ums.
I say a lot of ums.
You do.
Okay, so I say
for
ums.
For me, it can be like.
Okay, like, you know.
No, like, someone can do likes for me.
Okay, just listen,
we're giving
Laszlo.
Tasks.
Back off, Laszlo, all right? You know, come on here. We're not professionals. Just cut us a little slack, all right? Thanks to the Tbilpod listener who explains the history of the 100,000 martyrs. It's long, complicated, incredibly important. Check out the blog georgianorthodoxchurch.wordpress.com. Look under November 26th for the info.
And cool. It's long, complicated, and in English.
And in English, yeah.
So there's lots of info on the Georgian Orthodox Church that you never knew you wanted to know.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, check it out. There's a lot there. It's quite interesting. We're not vouching for the source. You know, we're just saying it's all right there. And, I mean, 100,000 martyrs, that's a lot of martyrs. Okay, this week's Kolga movie is on Friday, November 30th, Annie Hall from 1977. It's at 8 p.m. Dome Kino across from Rustaveli Metro 7 Lari. Also, and this is important, everybody, take notes, get ready, pull out a pencil. The Georgian Irish Film Festival is held starting tonight through December 1st. That's this weekend. The program includes the following movies: Charlie Casanova, Garage, Between the Canals, Intermission, Zonad, The Weather Station, Once, and Jump.
The Weather Station is actually in Russian.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, for information, go to www.thegif, that's T-H-E-G-I-F-F, .com. And get the schedule and go to a movie, one of those movies, Friday or Saturday.
And the Tbilisi International Film Festival is just around the corner, so don't forget about
that. Yeah, they haven't put up the schedule yet, have they?
No, they're always very bad with that.
Okay, it's gonna come in a few days. It starts when?
I think the 9th or something like that.
Yeah, it should be up in a week or so. We'll let you know if it's up in the next podcast. Two very interesting books that taken together will be the best English language, you know, history version you'll be able to get will be Edge of Empires, A History of Georgia by Donald Rayfield.
Donald Rumsfeld, no.
No, Rayfield, no, he's great. I mean, a really talented writer. He's written about Chekhov, wrote a thing about Stalin, translated Vajab Shavela, History of Georgian Literature,
okay,
as well as Georgia, A Political History Since Independence by Stephen Jones, who wrote a sort of a predecessor to that, which is about the sort of beginning of the social democracy movement in Georgia. They're published in the U.S. next month, already available for pre-order on Amazon.
And at least a History of Georgia is already at Prosperous Books and Cafe. I think there's some...
The Edges of Empire? Since Independence one?
No, The Edges of Empire, I think.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. Okay. I haven't seen it. I gotta check that out.
It's 89 lari, but on Amazon it's about the same price in USD. So.
Oh, okay, great.
$55.
Okay, Moscow, etc. Theater, headed by the Russian Federation People's Artist Alexander Kalyugin, will perform The Storm and Not a Bad Place for Feeding Dogs at the Rustaveli Theater. The theater's press service declared that etc. came to Georgia on tour and the personal invitation of Ivanishvili. These two productions will be performed from November 30th to December 6th at the Rustaveli Theater. Tickets at the box office. 12th International Agro-Food Drink Tech Exhibition will be held in Tbilisi December 1st at the Exhibition Center on Tsereteli Avenue. Exhibition of Indian products that has opened at the Sports Palace today and will continue for 2 weeks. There's jewelry, furniture, accessories, crafts, leather, and wood goods, which is sort of behind the McDonald's by the Holiday Inn at the...
Sabartalo.
Sabartalo, yeah. Just where Bikini starts. For the entire month of December, starting Saturday the 1st, that is the day after tomorrow, anybody who comes and tries Betsy's Hotels, disclosure, I'm a shareholder, new dinner, not a shareholder in the dinner, but in the hotel, anyone who comes to Betsy's to have dinner will receive a free car wash.
By Mark, in a bikini.
Yeah. Okay, not in a bikini, but if you come Saturday night, actually, I will be washing the cars on Saturday night the 1st, just to make sure everything goes well. Come anytime between 7 and 9 p.m., park out front, tell the car washers you're having dinner, and you want your car washed, you'll get a piece of paper, have the waiter or waitress sign it when you pay your bill, and your car will be clean by the time you walk out. No bikinis, sorry about that, least of all by me.
It's a little chilly.
It's a little chilly. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tbilpod@gmail.com. Our post to our forum website is www.tbilpod.com. That's it. We will finish from 1968. Toots in the Mails. My number is, I forgot what the number is, but anyway, it's a great song.
Did you know, mister? Hear what I said, sir? Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. Get your hands in the air, sir. Woo. Yeah. Then you will get no hurt, mister. No. I said, yeah.
I said, yeah.
Give me, 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 give me,